Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
from the hood to Hollywood. Hello, hello, hello.
Kasho.
What's cracking, Babelito?
Nada, aquí celebrando el año nuevo con a lot of hope. Just, you know, the semester starts this week, so you best believe that shit is crazy right now. But I am so excited about today's episode that I do not care. How are you?
Wonderful. Hope, that's the opposite of what I feel right now. What's the opposite of hope? Fear, I guess, right? That's the opposite of hope. No, I don't fear anything. I'm just like, so much has happened since we last recorded, you know?
Oh my God, I know. Ugh.
So maybe we should take a minute to talk about that.
Let's do it. Because I have something to say. So go for
Can
it.
I just say something? You want to know something?
You want to know something?
You want to know something? that's a little callback from 2 years ago. Shout out to Cardi B.
Wow.
I am tired of these white people texting me, telling me what's going on in the news. I don't know why people keep texting me like, do you see what's going on? Like, yes, bitch. What? You don't have to tell me what's happening. And then they proceed to like show me how appalled they are by what's happening. And they expect a reaction from me to be like, oh yeah, I know. Isn't this terrible? But I just go, yeah, so what? Like, you didn't expect this to happen. And I could tell it bothers people when I do that, because it's like, I'm so cynical at this point that it's probably like unhealthy, like of how numb I am to everything and how dead I am inside. Because when I saw those images of those fucking people breaking into the Capitol building, the people's house, I don't know. I was just like, yep. And they're going to get away with it. And look what happened, Mimi. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I think it actually makes me more sad, because just thinking of all the lives that were lost, just people peacefully protesting for Black Lives Matter. And then these people, mm-hmm. because people keep saying like, this is what white privilege looks like showing the people in the Capitol stealing shit. I'm like, no, that's what white supremacy looks like. Not white privilege.
Right.
White privilege is you calling a person of color to let your feelings out without even thinking about the emotional repercussions and like what the person right. of color is going through, and you telling them and absolving yourself of your guilt by letting a person of color know that you don't agree with what's happening. Like, fuck you. Okay.
Say it, bitch.
Okay,
say it.
2021. Ugh. New year, old me, bitch, okay? I am just over it. And I think a few of my white friends have gotten the hint when I'm just like, yeah, so what? I'm dead inside. Why are you telling me? Don't tell me. You think out of all your friends, I don't know what's happening? Talk to somebody like, that doesn't know what's happening and let them know what's going on. Anyway, what do you think about what's going on? Remember what I said? 2020 was going to be worse just 2 weeks ago, okay? I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but, you know, I do see a ghost in my hallway once in a while. That's all I got to say. Okay. I'm gifted. I have the gift, okay?
Entrégate. No, I'm in a similar boat, and I'm glad we brought this up. I've been listening to a lot of NPR podcasts for some reason, because I'm a victim of my own algorithm and fucking Spotify. But I also been listening to It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders, and I love that show so much. But lately, I haven't been, you know, I didn't love that one of the last episodes that I listened to, because he had a couple of people comment on what happened. And this is just a reflection of a lot of other podcasts talking about what happened as something sad. Oh, no, our capital got violated. Or like, oh, my God, the seat of democracy. Oh, my God, what are people going to think around the world? All I have to say about this is le dieron agua de su propio chocolate, sopa de su propio chocolate. Like, they got a little taste of their own fucking medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the United States has come to become the power that it is because they have violated pretty much every other fucking country. When I think about the violences that the United States has committed around Latin America, this little incident means nothing. So when my mom is like, cuando te levantes, prende las noticias. I was like, oh, here we go. So I started watching, and
thank God Clement obviously has the finger on the pulse of what's happening, or else you would be lost.
I was watching, and like part of me was entertained, and but that's not to say that violence is always fucking unnecessary. So I wasn't into that, but I also saw, bitch, like, that's what you created. Like, this is the system that you created. This is the monsters that you created. So for anybody in the government, any member of the fucking cabinet of anything or the Senate or whatever, to point the moral finger, like, fuck you. Like, this is you. This is all on you. You created this. And if you didn't know that this is what you know, the fucking Frankenstein that you have been putting together for the last couple of hundreds of years, then, you know, like, I'm sorry for you. So, like, every time I hear somebody in a podcast say, I am so sad, like, it made me so sad to see that. Like, bitch, wake the fuck up. Like, how many more, as you say, how many more brown and black lives have to be lost for people to realize that this shit has been happening for a long time? And it's because of people like this, and it's because of every fucking single member of the government. That's it. I'm over it. I'm over this whole sentimentality bullshit. Bye.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's like I said, I'm like, it made me sad thinking of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's why I was sad. Not because they were breaking the windows of a building that is a monument to white supremacy. Have you been in the Capitol? Hello. So they literally had a catacomb in the Capitol building where they were gonna put George Washington right in the middle in the ground, like basically a temple for George Washington. You know what I mean? Like, we always exoticize other cultures. Like, oh, can you believe the Aztecs? They would sacrifice people. Oh, can you believe the Egyptians? They would mummify people and put them in pyramids. I'm like, bitch, we were doing the same thing. And guess what? We're killing people in the streets in front of everybody. We're not even doing a ceremony to honor their life. We're just killing them. I just had this conversation with one of my relatives of like talking about how savage our ancestors were, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Do you understand we're sitting in a fucking country right now where the government last year was giving hysterectomies to indigenous and Latinx, not Latinx, because I don't want to say that, because those women identified as Mexican and Central American women, right? Like, in cages. Right. And you're worried about the Aztecs making Mexicans look bad? Excuse me? What are you talking about?
And these modes of measuring difference are so fucked up. I was watching, of course, because, you know, like, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this. If I'm gonna watch this shit, I'm gonna watch it live. So I was watching CNN live, and one of the newscasters is like, no, this is the embassy or like the palace of Bogota. I'm just like, okay. If Bogota or any Latin American country throughout the 20th century was having coup d'etats and it was a fucking mess, it's because of this fucking house that you're reporting on right now, the White House, the fucking Capitol. I fucking hate... Ay, me dio tanto pinche coraje.
Listen, we can...
Especially...
Yeah.
Go for it.
Look, we could talk about this forever, bitch, but I don't want this to sour the mood today because it's a happy episode. All I got to say is just check Hillary's emails. It's all in there, okay? You don't have to listen to us. Oh, my gosh. Okay, what have you eaten?
Me enchilé, güey, hasta calor me dio. Okay, let's do this.
What have you eaten so far this year? Anything good that we should know about?
Homemade rosca de Reyes.
Come on.
Yes. We got the recipe from Jauja Cocina Mexicana, the best Mexican food lady from Austin. Check it out on YouTube. It's so, so, so amazing. No encontramos little baby Jesus, but we're like, it's fine. We just want to eat the fucking bread. We don't care about
there was no Jesus else. In the whole loaf.
I couldn't find them. Actually, I couldn't. I didn't want to look for them. I'm like, fuck it.
Somebody ate the Jesus.
Like, and it was so good. Baby Jesus.
Somebody ate the Jesus. Oh, no.
Yeah, so we had that. That was excellent. And I just had chiles rellenos that my husband made. They were bomb. So I started the year eating a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm very blessed. How are you? What about
good.
You?
Well, you know, as a upstanding member of the vegan community. Yes, thank you. Thank you for finishing that.
You're welcome.
I've been really trying to stay true to my veganism. Can't even say it. That's how vegan I am. It's
veganese.
It's just hard because I hate to waste food. And there's just like a big thing of mayonnaise in my fridge that my roommate's grandma bought from Costco, you know? So that's the only thing that isn't vegan. Like when I need mayonnaise for something, I don't use veganaise. I just use regular mayonnaise, which is all eggs, you know?
Because you're not savage. You're not fucking Aztec.
Yeah, I'm not a fucking Aztec. I'm going to eat mayonnaise. Best foods. Best foods. Hellman's, McCormick, you know. Anyway, I don't know. Have I had any? I'm trying to think of like specific great meals that I've had so far. And really, I've just been cooking at home a lot. So we bought this when the quarantine started, you know, and everybody was freaking out. My roommate bought like this giant, like 20-pound bag of basmati rice. And it's not my favorite kind of rice because it's like so thin, you know, it's not as starchy as other rices, but I've just been 1999. I have been going online and looking for recipes on basmati rice. So the other day I made basmati rice with like carrots and ginger and cabbage and like really good, like kind of, it was a kind of Korean fusion, you know what I mean? And today I'm going to make some fried rice, even though it's not the best for fried rice. Girl, I got 20 pounds of it. I'm going to go through it. Okay.
Yes. I use Thai rice. I started to buy Thai rice maybe a year ago. And the rice always turns out good.
So yeah.
Like, once you're done with the basmati, start buying Thai rice. That's the best.
I love like Japanese short grain rice. That one's really good too. Mm. Bomb.com.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say, One of my New Year's resolutions was like to stop eating so much fast food because, girl, hashtag not sponsored, Burger King and Carl's Jr. Carlos Jr.'s came out with like the Impossible and Beyond Burger on their menu. So it's like so easy to just go there and get a Beyond Whopper, okay? But... I was doing it too much, but I was texting with my friend the other day and I was like, why haven't these motherfuckers come out with a vegan chicken sandwich somewhere? They would sell out immediately. You know what I'm saying? Like there's such a
hard.
It's not hard.
Have you had good vegan chicken? I don't know.
I've had so many amazing vegan chicken sandwiches. They need to do it. Oh. They need to do it. Anyway, so
don't give them ideas. You're trying to stop eating fucking fast food.
I'm giving them ideas. KFC's already making mutant chickens. You don't think they've already thought about growing their own chicken in a lab that doesn't have eyeballs on it? Please.
I have not had KFC in fucking maybe 20 years. Because remember back in the day,
do you think you're better than everybody?
No, but let me tell you, remember like Pamela Anderson was like so active.
What did you
about
just call her?
Rights? Pamela Anderson.
Pamela?
Pamela. Ay, bitch,
culero. Girl, it's not the vice president. What the hell?
Pamela Henderson.
Pamela Harris. Go ahead.
She was so active about that shit, and she kept talking shit about KFC, and she convinced me. I was like, okay, I guess I'll stop. That's all I have to say about her. Yeah.
Pamela Anderson. She threw the first brick at Stonewall. Okay.
God bless her.
Yes. What did you do for New Year's Eve? Anything fun?
We had... ¿Qué comimos? Hice discada. I'm a discada king now. I'm a discada queen, sorry. I'm a discada queen now. And my husband's side of the family, they're from central Mexico. So this is very north. So they had it once in my birthday, and they're like, what the fuck is that? We want it again. So I spent 4 hours cooking that discada. And by the time I finished, I was wasted because I was just like listening to music, drinking a lot of beer. So that's it. We just had discada, and it was a very chill night. But
what is a discada?
It was good.
For any new listener out there.
So I need to really get to the bottom of this. And I know there's a professor in UIC that studies this stuff, so I need to like talk to him. But the disco is basically like a wok that it's made out of metal, but it's a little bit flatter, and it actually has walls so you don't spill everything. And a discada, you make bistec and cachitos, and then you put chile, tomate, cebolla, and then you can basically put whatever you want. Weenies, salchichon, bologna, like whatever you want to do it. And you simmer it in beer for hours. But it's like you cook the meat very slow, and then le agregas chorizo, and then you cook it for another 30, 40 minutes. Y luego le agregas los tomates. So like slowly, slowly, by the time you finish, the meat is super, super, super soft, and you have all those flavors together. My dad adds a shot or two of tequila, so I added a shot of mezcal, and it turned out so good. So that's what I did. I basically just cooked and ate. But that's what I do every day, so nothing special. But, you know, we had a really good time.
Mm.
What about you?
I was just home, and I was in bed by 10:30 p.m. I popped a few edibles, watched Survivor, and that's it. That was my New Year's. I didn't do anything. I didn't go out, nothing, girl. I'm trying to stay home because the Rona is rampant in Las Vegas, okay?
Let's not
actually,
get
all over the
it.
World, but... Girl, these gays on New Year's. Did you follow that? Do you want me to tell you what happened?
Luisito's the one who told me about Puerto Vallarta.
Girl, the gays are out there killing everybody, okay? Oh, my God. But just Google, or don't Google. Go to the page on Instagram called Gays Over COVID, and you can get all the tea on there. And I'm not here for, you know, shaming people or what do they call it? Doxing people online. But some of these gays out here, girl, you deserve what's coming to you. Because a lot of these hoes are nurses that got in the front of the line for the vaccine and then went to go party in Mexico. Like, who are you? Do you have no fucking sense? It's awful. It's horrible. And the sweet poetic justice when their fucking ships started to, their boats, I'm not going to call them boats, but their boats started to sink just to see the all 60 of those gays in their little short shorts drowning in the ocean. Oh my God.
Bye.
I just feel bad once again for all the Mexicans that got sick. You could see the workers freaking out in the videos, you know, but like, what are you going to do? We live in a world where people don't give a fuck. So, and my family's part of that. They've been to Mexico several times. The hospitals are full. Stop going to Mexico, people. We don't want you there. Stop recolonizing Mexico. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Qué desorden. Well, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll get into this awesome episode.
All right. Oh my gosh, give me a fucking break. This year already has been horrible. And the last thing I want to worry about is my health. But like I said before, it's scary out there. But thanks to Planned Parenthood's telehealth, girl, you don't even have to leave the house, okay?
That's right. If you don't feel like sitting and waiting around in a room, again, Planned Parenthood got you covered. And it's a leader in using new technologies to provide high-quality healthcare in ways that fit your life.
Through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way, by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all your healthcare decisions.
Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high quality, affordable, and private, just like in-person visits. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting line and skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it.
Planned Parenthood takes the streets out of healthcare and... what?
The stress, not the streets.
Girl. I just want to go outside. Okay. Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are.
Check out plannedparenthood.org/lunch to learn more and book a virtual appointment. That's plannedparenthood.org/lunch.
Again, plannedparenthood.org/lunch. And we're back. All right, you know the drill. First episode of the year is the first episode of the year.
And qué filósofo, tío.
I know. I'm here. I'm the prophet, modern day prophet, Fabi Fav. Anyway, it's our favorite music of 2020 episode, aka Radio Lonchea, inspired by our friends over at Radio Menea, and of course Song Mess.
That's right. In today's episode, we're going to reveal my top three picks of the year, Favi's top three picks of the year, and then our joint top album of the year. And the way that we selected this criteria is, like before, we are trying to concentrate on Latinx albums that we listened to throughout the year or maybe in the last couple hours. And we are choosing a song per every song. We'll get a little taste of that, and then we'll reveal our top album of the year. You know that I'm excited, and I'm ready to party!
We're choosing one song from every... we're choosing three albums each, and then one top album, right?
That's right.
Okay.
¿Quién quieres que empiece? Entonces yo empiezo, digo mi número tres, o tú empiezas número tres, y luego dos, y dos, uno y uno. How do you want to do it?
Maybe you should go first.
Dale, pues. So, oh my God. This was a very interesting year for me musically, because I was not... this is the first year that I didn't go to any shows. I was scheduled to interview two bands. I was scheduled to interview Illa Bamba and Niño de Elche for the podcast. And of course, Rona happened. So Niño de Elche was canceled 3 hours before the show started. That's when the venue... and I flew to Washington just to interview him. I was so upset. But then we went on quarantine with family. So like the only time that I had for myself is when I exercise. And I started playing a lot of Colombian music, because this was a year where I discovered a lot of Colombian stuff. So the year started with that, a lot of Colombian stuff. And up until maybe October, when I got a text from Angelica from Balloon, our favorite band. And she said, we were talking about our divas. And she said, to me, la única que no se equivoca, that doesn't go, like she always does something interesting, is Juana Molina. From Argentina. So I went back to her catalog, and I'm still falling in un abismo de pasión, güey. I fucking love everything she does. And then I realized that she came out with an album in 2020. And it's super interesting and very pertinent for what today's episode, because she did this concert. She did a live album in the Festival Anormal, Festival Normal in, I think it was in Mexico City. And a couple days later, the world shut down. So this is the last live performance she did. And I am not a fan of live albums, but one of the first songs I heard was her punk take on a classic by her, which is Un Día. And I listened to the whole album, and it is incredible. So why don't we listen to a little bit of Un Día Punk from the live album Anormal by Juana Molina, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Oof, esta mujer no termina, man. What do you think?
Well, to quote another modern day philosopher, Morgan McMichaels, rock and roll, baby.
Oof, you know, like, I am so, I watch Break It All, which is this Netflix special on rock in Latin America. And she's like, they tease that in the first episode, like, her commentary. And of course, they barely paid attention to women in that fucking documentary. They don't pay attention to Afro-Latino music. And at the end, they kind of did this like, oh, el futuro del rock es femenino. And they did that for like 20 minutes out of like 6 episodes. And Juana Molina is only there for 10 minutes. And I, out of Latin America, at least somebody that has made it beyond like subterranean music, like, she's a leading lady, man. She has not created a bad album to this date. So I was like so appalled when I saw that. But when you listen to the original Un Día, which is like she does everything on loops, everything is loop, and they just keep building. She has like a formula. When you listen to the original Un Día and then this punk version, you understand and realize not only how amazing it will be to see her live, but also like what a talent, man. She started as a comedian in Argentina, and then she's like, fuck this shit, this is stupid. And then she started working on music, and you know, now she, I don't know, to me she's an icon, but she needs a lot more attention than she's been getting.
Yeah, I love it, and it's like it's kind of refreshing because I don't think we've ever had music like this on the podcast. I mean, a little bit when we went over Café Tacuba and stuff, yeah. You know? But it's evolved beyond kind of your basic rock en español, right?
Yes.
Because it has a very like new sound to it, which I really like, but then it's also very nostalgic at the same time, which I think is like, we've talked about it before on the show, like a lot of people are capitalizing on nostalgia right now, mm-hmm. because we're all sick and depressed and want to be in a different time, you know?
Reality.
So, yeah. I've talked about it on the show before, right? When, like, that in the 1960s, if you were a nostalgic person, they would give you medication because it meant that you were depressed because you couldn't live in the moment.
Que saquen la pastilla, papi.
For real. Oh, yeah, but, yeah. I mean, it's just so badass. And I mean, it's like, it sounds cliche, you know, like to say like, oh my gosh, a woman being a rock star, but it is so important. And you can hear the different point of view in the music.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing about Juana Molina, that people try to classify her, but, and this is a punk mm-hmm. version, but her music, it's, I don't even know. Like there's, it's like minimalist, electronic. I don't know. And if you watch her videos, girl, if you watch her fucking videos, es una vieja loquilla, güey. O sea, she's like in her own world. Like there's so many trends happening in music, and she's like, nah, I don't give a fuck. And she keeps doing this amazing stuff. So like, I love her. I absolutely love her.
Yes, 5 stars. 5 stars only for Juana Molina.
That's right. Okay, tu número tres, dale.
All right. Well, this artist, you know, I've given them shout outs in the past before. And I wasn't going to bring them to this episode because they were so popular this past year, you know, 2020.
Right.
And they came out with a lot of music. I will say there was a cultural moment, a cultural shift when the album came out by Bad Bunny.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
I'm talking about Yhlg. The album is YHLQMDLG, also known as Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana. Okay.
Sale.
And first of all, I love the title of the album. But then, second of all, again, with the nostalgia, here it is. Like, the first song on the album is like The Girl from Ipanema, right? Like a classic Latin American song that was really popular, still very popular, but you know, back in the day when all the white jazz bands and producers were caught, were jumping on the Latin wave, there were so many covers of that song that it's just like, that song is just global. But the song that I think my favorite song is Zafaera. Let's listen.
Vamos.
Mira, dímelo, DJ Yorma. ¿Qué tú te crees? Jodio cabrón. Yo hago lo que me da la gana. Y se lo conejo.
Ey, ey. Hoy se bebe, hoy se gasta. Hoy se fuma como un rata. Si Dios lo permite.
Si Dios lo permite.
Si Dios lo permite.
Que si Dios lo permite.
Hoy se bebe, hoy se gasta. Hoy se fuma como un rata. Si Dios lo permite. Ey, si Dios lo permite.
I mean, this song, just like my mental health, all over the place.
It's a mess. Okay?
It's a fucking mess. It's all over the place, and I fucking love it. Awesome. Okay?
Yeah, like, so, Bad Bunny has been getting a lot of attention, not only because I think it wasn't 2020. It was really more 2019. It was the year where, like, Los Gringos are like, oh, there's something to this in reggaeton. Like, so they started to appreciate the music, not just the cultural movement, because the cultural movement has been happening since the fucking 90s, right? So, but Bad Bunny was such a welcome, refreshing take on everything because of his, I don't know, like the fluidity of how he appears to perform his gender. I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt and call him queer. but I think
no,
there's...
No, that bitch is a queer baiter.
Oh, shit. Yes, I like that. But either way, like, I just had this conversation with my mom. Like, my nephew se está pintando las uñas. And y traen un pedo con mi cuñado.
Get that fag out of the house.
Right.
Tell him to go to military school.
And my mom's answer is like, pues es que así andan todos los reggaetoneros, está de moda, ¿por qué le hace tanto de pedo? So it's like, that shit 10 also, years ago would have never been like nothing. So I think it's because of people like that that it's making, that it's not making people rethink, but like, kids are growing up with this type of stuff. So I appreciate that. And yes, it's messy, but there's some beauty to the messiness of Bad Bunny. So, you know, it is what it is. So I like it.
Yeah, I like this song a lot. And it's featuring Joel and Randy and Nengo Flow. And so you can definitely tell the influence and what parts are whose. But my favorite part about it is all the sampling in the song. This song came out right before, in February, basically, this whole album. And I have a really great memory of my cousins. And some of you know them if you're longtime listeners of the show or our Patreon. We did an episode with them. My little cousins, they're in high school, like freshman, sophomore. I don't know. They're probably older, but to me, they're still 3 years old. And
son unos fetos todavía.
I hung out with them all day. We were like having a cousin day, and I was like, okay, speaking of, that's so funny. We went and got pedicures because my cousins had never gotten pedicures before. And
yes.
My cousin was so nervous because he painted his toes. He's like, my dad's going to be so angry. I was like, girl, what? In 2020, but you know, these fucking Mexicans, what are you gonna do? But the album came out the day we were hanging out. So we just like played it and listened to it together and reacted to it together, which was really fun.
Oh man, and you should have recorded that shit.
The kids love Bad Bunny. The kids love Bad Bunny. So they didn't, I was so hype on this song because of the references, and they didn't know what the references were,
yeah.
Which was interesting. But it was a nice moment for me to educate them or like have a little bonding over, especially like, you don't know, Get Your Freak On by Missy Elliott, bitch.
Come
what
on.
What the fuck? Get your life together. But here's a few of the, here's some of the, I think, of the songs that were sampled. They use Sueños Mojados by DJ Nelson and DJ Goldie. That's from the 90s. And then, of course, Get Your Freak On, Missy Elliott, 2000s. So it's like, it's kind of establishing also like Bad Bunny has this early 2000s, late 90s aesthetic, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what he's using in his music. Then El Tiburón by Alexis Cifido. That's from 2005. But then they also do some throwbacks. They sample parts of Could You Be Loved by Bob Marley and the Wailers and the 60s band Enoch Light. The song is a little fugue from Me and You. And I love it because they just kind of layer all of these samples together. And then, well, they're not really layered. A couple of them are layered, but how they kind of seamlessly go through the entire song. It's really fun. And also, this song also brought us the great TikTok of 2020, where young Latinx kids would play the part where Bad Bunny is talking about eating his girlfriend's, his girlfriend eating his ass and getting the reaction of their parents. So it's really, I think it's really a priceless song that will go down in the history books.
Escándala. Awesome. Okay. So it wouldn't be my choice of music without geeking out a little bit. And this year, from June to last week, I did nothing but write for one specific publication. And in the middle of writing, this album came up. It dropped out of nowhere. Never heard anything like that in my life. And it just aligned with exactly with what I was writing. So why don't we listen to a little bit of Ficciones del Trópico is the name of the album by Molero. The song is called Fasmagigas. Again, this is from an album, Ficciones del Trópico. Let's listen to it a little bit and then I can get into it.
All right. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Please explain.
So this is a guy that has been doing Alexander Molero. It's a guy that has been doing electronic and ambient music for a while. But of course, like every good Waitino, he moved to Europe. And when he was in Europe, he realized that there's this exotic way of understanding South America. And that's exactly what I was writing about. I was writing about the history of how Europeans were reimagining the Americas in the wake of the Enlightenment in the late 18th century. So when all these like great universities around the world were being built and everything was based on science, not religion anymore, you had all this philosophy happening, you had all these scientific advancements happening. And the with that came a quote-unquote rediscovery, and using the word discovery in the most colonial fucking sense of the word, of the Americas. And you couldn't go to the Americas in the colonial period. You needed a special permission from the king. So the king started giving special permits to all the scientists to go and explore the flora and fauna. And by fun, I don't mean birds and animals. I mean also people, right? Because that's how they saw everything. So the leading scientist of this whole thing, his name was Alexander von Humboldt. And he wrote countless books that were basically just tales of his adventures with the natives and what he saw and this land full, like plentiful, and he did all the studies in Peru, in Colombia, all throughout South America. He was so influential that even Darwin wanted to go to South America and follow his footsteps. So what this guy is doing is taking some of the writings from the people that follow in the 19th century, more specifically a writing by Anton Goering, and I'm not going to pronounce it because this is in fucking in German. And there's a book where he talks about his experiences in Venezuela. And this guy is from Venezuela, the Alexander Molero. So he's reading all those journals. He's looking into all this idea, this aesthetic of like exotic South America, wild, cannibal, savage bullshit. And he's almost putting himself in the mentality of this like neo-colonial motherfuckers and making fantasies. So he uses sounds of frogs and insects, and he blends it all together into this like I don't even know what it is. I read somebody that called it trans tropical music. You know, like it's one of those things that it's not necessarily classifiable. But when you think, and even the cover of the album, he took one of the paintings of this guy who wrote this book about Venezuela and distorted it into this like almost abstract landscape. So basically letting you know that these are just fantasies. That's what the name Ficción is. These are just, you know, like fictions of El Trópico, Venezuela. Every song almost puts you in the shoes of like this fucked up ideology of exploration and rediscovery. It was a perfect soundtrack for everything that I was writing about. And it just stayed on. And I've been listening to it basically nonstop since it came out in the summer. Again, Ficciones del Trópico, man. It's so, so good. But I want to know what you thought when you first heard it. Like, ¿qué sentiste, güey?
Well, I listen to a lot of music like that when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And so I that's just what I thought about. And
yeah.
I did realize I kind of got the idea from the cover of the album that's what it was about. And the reason I appreciate it is because, you know, it's this thing that I talk about with art a lot. Visual art specifically is like a lot of times when people think of Latin American music or music by a Latin American, even a white Latin American that goes to Europe, you know, they think of certain beats and certain sounds and what we're supposed to sound like. And I feel like this album breaks those boundaries, and it's like a very abstract album. And I feel like when people of color, I know this guy's white, but speaking in a greater scope, like when people of color do abstract work or Latinx people do abstract work, sometimes I almost see it as like a political act to say like, fuck you, my art doesn't have to be about my personal trauma. It can be about history. It could be just me playing around, you know? It could be just about nothing. And of course, there's a lot of historical context within this work, and it makes it even more important and like just adds layers to the music, you know?
Right.
But it could also be listened to on its own and just exist, just like, you know, an abstract painting can just exist.
And I like,
but of course, yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's good. And it's like, I mean, all those ideas that you mentioned kind of came through, but we weren't hit over the head with them. You know what I mean?
Right. And I like the idea of distortion and the idea of fantasy, because if this was to fulfill people's fantasies about South America, so irían changos y la chingada, and it will be like this fantasy thing. So he's taking those fantasies, but it's distorting them into actually a beautiful fucking product. And I listened to it first, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was just on and on and on, and I didn't even know what it was. And then I finally, like, did a little bit of research, and I was mind blown, like, of the level of actual research and that this person went through. So again, album Ficciones del Trópico, Molero, so, so good. So that was my number two, Fabi. Y ahora, tú qué show?
Yeah, speaking of distorted realities, this next album is almost, it's kind of the opposite. Instead of looking at history, it's looking at the future,
yes.
Which I think is very interesting. And it's from our favorite band, Mula. You know, we love Mula from the Dominican Republic, Dominicanas. And of course, something that I really love about Mula is that they write and produce all their own music, which I find incredible. The three of them, the Acevedo sisters, and of course their collaborator, Rachel, and they came out recently, I think in November, they dropped their new... Oh, no, they didn't, sorry. And this past summer, they dropped their new album, Mundos, okay? Let's listen to the first track, Cyborg, or Cyborg.
Dale.
Inglés sin barreras. I love them.
You know, like, I first listened to this album, and their first album is probably one of my favorite of all time. So it took me a little bit of time to get into this, but there's some gems in this album. It's so good. And when you said they came out with this album, baby, they certainly did. They definitely came out. So good. So good.
I just find, I mean, this song, I find it, like, I mean, it's just such a great song because of the beat, and then it's kind of, like, sexy, and, like, oh, I just can already see, like, a runway walk to this song, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's, like, queer, and the little sounds are very futuristic, and I love it, and, you know, anytime people of color, Afro-Latinx, Black people, they make work about the future. You know, I think it's so important because a lot of times when we think about fantasy, when we think about the future, and when we see it on television and in film, a lot of times the only people of color that we see in those movies are painted green. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not brown or black, right? And so I love artists that are reminding us that the future is going to be brown. The future is going to be black.
Not only that, but also, like, the need to escape to alternate realities, which, you know, like, those are the ethics of Afrofuturism. And you see that more and more in the Latinx communities. And somebody like Rita Indiana, for instance, that has been working on some of those, like, speaking of ficciones, of those fictions. So that's kind of like what Mula is coming. It's almost reinventing a alternate future that actually fits, that will fit this amazing music, you know.
They're just so good. If you haven't listened to their discography, go back and listen. They're amazing. It was really hard for me to choose a song from the album, honestly, and so I just chose the first song just so that to give you a taste of what the album is. And also, to me, robots have always been inherently queer to me, and so to have a song called Cyborg, you know, with the little R2-D2 sounds in the beginning. By the way, side note, you know, I've prided myself for years on being that fucking hipster that's never seen Star Wars before. And,
same.
I started watching it.
No, you were the only person I knew besides myself that didn't watch any of that shit.
Well, delete my number, bitch. So... So I watched episode 4, 5, and 6, which are the first ones that came out. That's the order they come out in. And I will say my favorite characters are the robots, C-3PO and R2-D2. They're like the cutest Bert and Ernie gay couple in cinematic history. And so I just kept thinking of how funny that was. But also, spoiler alert, girl, if you ever decide to watch Star Wars, they're kids' movies, first of all. And they're honestly made to sell toys. That's the whole point of those fucking movies. I know that you're studying Westerns right now, right? Aren't you?
Yes.
Star Wars is a Western.
Well, that's the whole thing.
You're going to have to watch it, dude. They're Western movies.
That's why it's hard for me to watch, because like Westerns are all about expansion of the Empire. But the Empire, you know, we have the whole territory we want. So let's go out to the universe. So I feel like a lot of this like Marvel movies is just a reiteration of Western movies, but it's still with the ideology of expanding the empire. So that kind of shit is hard, but you're right. Like that's the new Western, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, back to the robots. I love the robots. And and thinking about the name Mula too, like I think the name of the band is brilliant because, you know, a mula, a mule is like a donkey and a horse having this like, you know, making this creature that we classify as a dumb animal. You know, like when somebody's when you call somebody a mula in Spanish, you're calling them dumb, you know?
Yeah. But I also think
but it's like, to me, it's like, no, that's like a fucking unicorn, you know? Like, yeah. It's an animal that doesn't reproduce also. And so they're in some cultures, they're revered, you know, like they're special. And so I think that's so interesting. And it kind of ties back to the idea of a robot, right? Listen to the album. There's so many different themes going on. I love it.
I thought mula was like for money. Like, give me that mula. But maybe that's just more like Latinx than Latin American. I don't know. Anyway.
They use that for money as well. You are correct.
Dale, dale.
You know, language is very complicated. It keeps evolving. So thank you for pointing that out, doctor.
You're welcome, sir. Okay, so my number one. This is my number one besides our top choice. So this band has been in my radar for years. They have come out with amazing singles. They collaborated with El Lado Negro, and you know El Lado Negro is my fave. So I've been waiting for this album. Of course, I'm talking about Busca Bulla. Speaking of names, Busca Bulla es como buscar pleito, güey. But yeah. What I like about this album's narrative and our main album that we'll talk about in a second is that these are seemingly innocent albums about either breakups or love relationships, but rooted in that simple supposed narrative, there's so much more going on. One of the things that I saw in 2020, as opposed to going back to when we started the podcast, like 2016, is that back then, if you remember, all these new bands were coming out about being Latinx, like young, Latin, and proud. There was like this movement because of the rhetoric of the campaign of Trump, right? Like it was like, fuck you, we're proud, whatever. In 2020, what I saw the trend is that people are reckoning with that. Because there's it's almost like people cannot romanticize the Latin American heritage anymore, and they're rethinking about nationalisms in a different way. Busca Bulla is a band that its main members, Raquel Berrios and Luis Alfredo del Valle, they're a married couple. They moved to New York City, they did their thing, they started a family, and it was time to go back. It was time to go back to Puerto Rico. But then when they went back to Puerto Rico, they confronted the realities after Hurricane Maria. So the Puerto Rico that they went back to was not the same that the one they left. The Puerto Rico that they yearned for, the warm weather and the song that we hear with El Lado Negro, Frio, and so on, it was gone. So this is a album that it's all about that. It's about returning home and hitting the realities of home. And from this album, I chose the single NTA, o No Te Equivoques. So let's listen to that for a little second. That song was on repeat, and I love that because all of the songs, they have this vibe of maybe this is about a relationship, maybe this is about their marriage, but at the bottom of it, it's about Puerto Rico's relationship with the United States and vice versa, their relationship with Puerto Rico, leaving Puerto Rico, coming back to Puerto Rico. So there's like all this very intense reckoning narrative that when it's combined with this like soft tropical dance music, ugh, they hit the spot in 2020. By far one of my favorite albums, and it's been on repeat since then.
Yes, I love this song. I mean, Busca Bulla in general, their music is so fun. This is I call the song the Okay Okay song. I think that's just what it sounds like to me. Okay, okay,
okay.
It always comes up on my Spotify. They're like, here, we know you want this. I'm like, I know. Okay, okay, I'll listen to it. Yeah, they're great. Weren't they our favorite pick, like, on our very first Rhythmina?
I think we might have chose one of the songs because the episode 2,
yeah.
I think that's where they had the song Frio, and we talked about all the Caribbean people's like longing for that fucking warm weather, especially right now. Yes, and they've been very active, but almost in the background. And this was their quinceañera, and there's like a really good Tiny Desk concert that you can find on YouTube where they're just it's just this, you know, this couple just sitting in the back of their van and they're just playing. And it's so, so, so beautiful. But yeah, like Mula, Busca Bulla, those are bands that we've talked about in this podcast many times before.
My third pick, or I guess this is my favorite album personally of the year.
Uh-huh.
It might surprise you because, you know, I usually come with the pop music, with the more mainstream music. But I feel like Ella Minus, I think she's very popular, actually. I feel like it's not like I found her. I didn't Columbus her. But
I'm abusing.
This is, she came out with her first official album this year, this fall. And it's called Acts of Rebellion. And she actually wrote it before everything kind of went down. Like, I think she started writing in 2017, 2018, really. And then finally released it this year. I don't think she had any idea. Well, I think she did have an idea, but she didn't have an idea of how impactful her songs would be because of the political climate this fall, you know, especially in the United States and, of course, across the world, because it's all the same shit everywhere. But the song that I want to get into, again, it was really, really hard for me to pick a favorite song from the album, but it is called They Told Us It Was Hard, But They Were Wrong.
If you
What'd you think?
You know, Ella Minus, I've been chasing her. I love her so much. You know, she came to my radar once again because she was the backup voice. She was like the backup singer for a lot of Helados Negros' last album songs. And
yeah.
again, the singles were coming up in my feed, and I was waiting for this album, and it didn't disappoint. It's, you know, it's so interesting because electronica, it's such a huge genre in Latin America, and it's always been since the 90s. But there's very few that actually make it through. Like, we talked about like other DJs in the podcast before, but what people don't realize is that beyond reggaeton and rock en español, there's like a huge movement of electronic music in Latin America. Yeah. And this is proof of that, that even though she's working in New York, she's like part of this like massive movement happening in different parts of Latin America. Her mixing is spotless. It's so good. I love her.
And you know, when you listen to this kind of music, you don't really know. Personally, I don't really know what goes into producing this kind of music. And when I was doing a little bit more research on Ella Minus, I'm like, how much does she actually do? And then I watched her perform this entire album. You can find interviews on YouTube, you guys. Mm-hmm. I recommend it because she does everything. She produced every single track, sings every single track. I saw her do it live, and it almost sounds like the recording, which is incredible. Because, you know, sometimes with electronic artists, you go to their shows and it doesn't live up to the studio recording.
Yeah,
you know?
Un botón y se acabó también.
Yo, she is on point when she performs live, and I just love seeing all her equipment and her setting everything up. And she has a really cool history. She was in like an emo band back in Colombia, and which I think is hilarious because we were all into emo back in the day. and then she studied to be a drummer. She went to Berkeley, and then eventually started to get more into, you know, to synth and electronic music. And so she basically talks about locking herself in a room or like she. I'm sure she didn't lock herself in a room, but just staying home and for just putting her phone away and just writing this album, you know, and composing this album, I should say. I don't know, like watching her, I feel like Ella Minus, we're going to be friends in real life someday. I feel it because the vibes, the energy she was giving out in these interviews.
I have to watch.
I could read her mind. She was talking so much shit. I love it. But she's very sweet. She's very sweet in her interviews and in person, and talking about this idea of also like of tiny acts of rebellion, right? So acts of rebellion, it's being written about as this like protest album. But if you listen to her interviews, it's like, I wrote it in 2018 when, you know, before this big uprising and before a lot of y'all motherfuckers woke up. I was just talking about how I felt back then, and it still applies to today. Yes. So I like those ideas behind it. And I also like the idea that she mentions in a few of her songs. For example, the song Tony, which she named after one of her synthesizers. But it's about putting your phone down and thinking about just being in the moment and talking to your friends and dancing like your grandparents used to back in the day. Can you imagine a world where instead of using apps to communicate, to date, you just like go find somebody and get to know them, you know?
Yes.
Like, what a concept, right? And we talk about it on Latinos Who Lunch a lot, like, and you bring it up too, Babelito, in the sense of like tiny interruptions, right? Small interruptions.
Right.
Can really change the world and change the way that people think. And, you know, these small acts of rebellion, as it's kind of shaped with this album, is again another way for you to protest in your own way, right?
Yeah.
And so,
and
this album is great. And yeah, go ahead.
No, and I think it's part of that wave that I'm telling you, that you have all this Latinx artists that their voices within the industry are not limited anymore to like that fantasy and that exotic, you know, figure, you know, like you don't have to be a certain stereotype in order to fit. And people are starting to pay attention. So it's so refreshing. I think 2010 was very important for that. I don't know if it was a reckoning or what the fuck, but Ella Maynez is seen as an electronic musician before she's seen as a Latina musician, you know what I'm saying? And that's so, yeah, so good. And that in its own rebellion, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes, and she sings in Spanglish, which I think is really cool. Her lyrics are very immediate. A lot of them are just like off the cuff, and she recorded them, and that was it, you know?
Yeah.
Which I like that. It's not as precious. I feel like a lot of artists like kind of dwell on the work, and you know, people can interpret it as however they want. And one of the ways that I found Ella Maynez actually was because of El Lado Negro and because of Latinos with Lunch and all this. But I've been listening to a lot of 8D audio. Do you know what that is? Mm-mm. So 8D audio helps me focus. Because I have like a really, I haven't been diagnosed with ADHD or whatever, but I think I'm gonna go to the doctor to get medication soon, because I think that is kind of the root to a lot of my issues. But it was recommended to me to listen to it to help me relax.
Oh, nice.
And what it is music that you would listen to with headphones on. And when you listen to it, the music kind of revolves around your head. It sounds like, it feels like you're in a crowd of people, or like you're at a concert sometimes. And so the music is coming from a very specific direction when you're listening to it. Mm. So if you imagine you listening to a song, imagine the audio just coming, just like kind of circling you. Or if you're like turning in a circle in front of a stage, how that would sound in your ears. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, and some artists really capitalize on that and will have like the vocals in your left ear and the drums on your right ear and this little sonido in front of you and this little sonido behind you, you know? And Ella Maynez plays with that a little bit in her songs. So I like that too. It was a song that I would just like get really high to, like the album, and just put it on and just like melt into my bed and listen to it over and over again as like I was going to bed. It just
caíste en una misma pasión.
Yeah, and I could listen to the whole thing. It's like a beautiful piece, the whole thing. And to give a shout out to El Lado Negro, he's featured actually in the last song called Close. So, you know, she mentioned in one of her interviews that she loves the way that El Lado Negro and her voice sound together. So, of course, she wanted to honor that in her first debut album.
Moraleja de la historia, El Lado, Ella, come to the podcast already. Oh, my God. Oh, so good. Okay, so the time has come to reveal our top album, Person of the Year. Of 2020. May I, Fabi, may I introduce this person?
You already are. What the fuck?
Okay.
What do you want
me
to do?
I'm just so excited because, okay. So a couple of months, I'm going to say like a month, and more precisely on December 19, Barack Obama came out with his top albums and songs to top songs of the year. And in that precise list, we actually had Bad Bunny. And I think besides Bad Bunny, the only other Latino, maybe somebody else I might be missing, but the only other Latino in the list was Lido Pimienta. And the song was Nada. So she tweeted the best response of the year. She said, and I quote, "The elephant in the room being that I'm the only person here who still pays rent, and I have 3 kids. So needless to say it, and in all capital," she said, "I will believe my own hype and enjoy the goodness, even if my conflicting, quote unquote, intellectual feelings want to shit on this Miss Colombia for life." Miss Colombia was an album that shook me to my very core. Miss Colombia is an incredible, incredible album that really is a journey that when you follow the videos, that when you follow the narrative, when you pay attention to the lyrics, to the aesthetic, you realize that this is a whole entire world that she is offering. And I know, Fabi, that you also, because we talked about Lido Pimienta in this podcast before. So I know that you also love this so much.
Yeah, I love her. I think she's an amazing artist. Not only is she a musician, but she's also a visual artist and a curator. And I'm just so in awe of her, you know, being a single mom and also just being like cool as fuck. If you haven't listened to her episode of Radio Menea yet, like, she's so funny and just like real, you know what I mean? Yes. A lot of times with these like artists, just, you know, judging books by their cover, which everybody fucking does, don't play, like, they play. A lot of musicians that I've noted that are as impactful as Lido, sometimes they play this character when they're being interviewed of like this mystical artist, you know? And when you hear her interviews, she's so fucking down to earth. And I love that about her, you know, kind of like that duality, you know, within her work, within her practice, I guess you would say, in art speak. Is amazing. What song did you pick to highlight our favorite album?
So I picked Eso Que Tu Haces. Let's listen to it, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it.
Cool.
Eso que tú haces. Eso que tú haces. Eso que tú haces.
This song, oof. You know, this song, when it came out, I knew that it was going to be packaged in an incredible album. And as we mentioned before, like, there's so many singles that came out after that because that's the way that everybody's releasing albums right now. And the whole thing about Miss Colombia is that this is an album, once again, about reckoning with nationality, because she mentions in the last, there's like a documentary on YouTube about this album. And in that documentary, she talks about the moment when Miss Colombia was pronounced Miss Universe. And then they're like, oh shit, sorry, it was Miss Philippines. This happened in 2015 or 16, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. She said that I think it was that moment that made her realize, like, almost like that disappointment made her realize her misrooted feelings about Colombia and what it represented for her. So Eso Que Tú Haces talks about the hypocrisy of Latin American cultures, more specifically Colombian cultures, of how much they, in the surface, they celebrate Afro-Latino cultures, and we all play the music and we all dance this and we're all doing this shit, but when it comes down to it, you know, like, those are the communities that suffer to a certain degree the most in Latin America, that in indigenous people. So she says that, eso que tú haces, eso no es amor. So, like, this, the way that we approach Afro-Latinx cultures, just, you know, taking advantage of what they produce, but also not really, you know, putting them in equal territory with the rest of the citizens of Latin America, it's so hypocritical. So this song is about that. And then when you start from Para Transcribir, the first opening song, where she's basically, this is my manifesto, this is what I'm talking about. The song Nada, which is the one that supposedly Obama chose, it's about that as well. It's about being women in Latin America, being women in Colombia. And this back and forth, like, I love my country, but I don't love my country anymore. You were good to me, but you also were bad to me. This back and forth, like, actually reckoning with these fantasies of nationalities, especially in Latin America, man, because when you look at the way that the world started to be fragmented into countries, the some of the first and some of the basis of nationalism around the world happened starting in Mexico and throughout Latin America. So we're like, que viva Mexico, cabrones, y todo ese desmadre. It's because to a certain degree, liberating or independence from Spain created some of the first hardcore nationalist movements that we still see today. So Miss Colombia is thinking about that, is making sense of that, is criticizing that, but also at the root of that, it's celebrating Afro communities and Afro music from Colombia. Fucking masterpiece. Love it.
Yeah, I love her. And I'll never forget the story of her. I think it was like back in like 2017. She was at a music festival and she kind of got in trouble because they didn't know what she was doing. But she's like, all the brown girls to the front, all the black girls to the front. And this photographer wouldn't get out of the way. And she just like, I'm not going to go on until y'all move the fuck out of the way, you know? And like, I just remember her doing that and how powerful that was. And then all these other artists doing it after she did it, you know, just to like, it's like a comment on access, right? And like, I feel like a lot of people don't understand what white privilege is. But of course, like when you go to a music festival, who has, I just know me, like when I go to a concert, I don't have the time to stake out a spot and stand in the front all day. I had to go to work, you know what I mean? So who's usually at the front? Teenagers that don't have nothing better to do, and white people that are on salary and don't have to go to work, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And so those are the people that have access to the front of the stage, right? And so she wanted to give access to all the brown women in the audience, and it was so controversial because, you know, whites are going to white, reverse racism, all this bullshit that they spout. But
those
it was just
ladies were like complaining about it. So stupid.
I've been here for 6 hours.
I'm
because
a woman. Yeah.
I donate to ACLU every year. I can't believe you're calling me a racist. Anyway, she's a badass. And oh my gosh, I know she makes really cool visual art. And I saw some prints that she did. Shout out to my friend Karen, who has one of her prints, I think. And I want it. I want one so bad. I'm going to get one of those one day.
In the beginning of the quarantine, she was taking her LPs and painting them by hand and selling them for $100. No tienes idea cuántos pinches madrazos de cabeza me he dado for not buying one. Like, I keep thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have $100. I wish I would have done it. And they're beautiful. Her art. She's a full-on artist, you know, like her approach, her music, the arrangements, the art, everything. It's amazing.
Yes, 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 yes. All right. Well, man, those were some interesting picks this year, you know?
Colombia, Venezuela, Argentina, Puerto Rico, El Salvador. From everywhere. This is
DR. Nothing from Mexico. Look
that's
at
right.
Us.
Hey.
Growth.
But before we go, as part of our recommendations, I took the liberty to ask some of our favorite music people and friends of the podcast to give us their top three. So why don't we make this the recommendations of the week, given their choices?
Sure, let's do it.
So Veronica Valletti Flores from Radio Menea was kind to give me her top three, and she chose as number one Bad Bunny's Boom, number two Miss Colombia by Lido Pimienta, and number three Kiki by Kiki, I don't know how to pronounce it, by Arca. And Arca was one of our choices in one of the first episodes.
Oh yeah, they're cool.
I also asked Angelica from Balloon, number one. She mentioned also Miss Colombia by Lido Pimienta. Number two, which we talked about it in the podcast, but we didn't highlight it in this episode as much, is Mandica Times by Rita Indiana. And, you know, Queen, she cannot do anything wrong. And that album, of course, is amazing. And also in number three, Kiki by Arca. And I asked Richardina from Song Mess, and I love Richardina's choices because she's like, I'm probably going to choose the same ones as Veronica, so I'm going to give you something different. So he said, number one, Gero Cumbe by Gero Cumbe. Number two, which I've been getting so much into his music right now, thanks to him, Edgar Mondragon, also by Edgar Mondragon. And finally, it was Lucia Tacchetti or Tacchetti. And the name of the album is LT. Oh my God. You need to listen to this. This is like Robin in Spanish. It's so, so good. So there you have it. The top choices from some of our favorite people in music podcasts right now.
Cool. Yeah. Shout out to everybody. Thank you for those recommendations. I can't wait to check them out.
Such great, great music this year. Thank you, everybody. 2020 was quite the year, but at least we're able to recap it in a positive, positive way. Oh, before we go, Ya Sé Como Chingo, Me Vale Madre. Unsettling Journeys has a new video. Check it out. Unsettling Journeys in YouTube, YouTube channel that my husband and I have been working on for a while. We're very proud of these videos. Check them out. A new video is just out. So do you have anything else, Fabi?
Yeah, weren't we going to make a special announcement today, Babs?
Oh, that's right, that's right. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, so we've been having conversations about the future of the podcast. And as you all know, here and there, we have been almost obligated to take breaks, given that we've been so lucky that our careers have taken a completely, not different path, but they're just keep growing and growing and growing. It's becoming increasingly more and more complicated to continue to produce and do this podcast. And things don't seem to be slowing down in 2021, which is a beautiful thing. And after some conversations, Fabi and I have decided that this is a good time to stop the podcast. Of course, we want to, queremos cumplir los 5 años, so it's going to be on May 5th that we're going to probably release the last episode. And it's bittersweet because I know that great things are coming for both of us, and I know that we have grown in people and we have done a lot of things, and things have taken different journeys, and that's okay. And I
unsettling can, journeys.
Unsettling journeys. And I can speak for myself to say that this unexpected ride in my 30s was probably one of the most beautiful surprises in my life. And I'm very, very grateful. I also know that the podcast will live online, hopefully, for a long, long time. And it's still our podcast. So si a mí se me da la gana and I want to say something, I'm going to call you and be like, dude, let's record an episode. So it is the end of...
And I'll be like, new phone, who this?
Who this? And I know this is the end of Latinos Who Lunch as We Know It. But I do want to... We talked about this and we will keep it open. Maybe in the future we will do conversations. I don't know. A lot of things can happen. So it is an end, but it's not. It is a, ¿cómo se dice? It is a goodbye, but it's not an end because a lot of things can happen. But we got to take a road and we got to take our journeys wherever that's taking us. And it's been fucking, fucking amazing. But we still have a whole entire couple of months of great episodes planned. And, you know, enjoy.
Wow. I couldn't have said it better myself, Babalito. Great job. Do you listen to TikTok? Do you watch TikTok at all?
No, I don't.
I was gonna say, good job, but you don't know what that's from. There's this guy who interviews toddlers and asks them random questions, and no matter what they answer, he just says, "Good job."
Us.
Yeah, we're hoping to leave the episodes archived online, you know, for anybody that wants to go back and listen to them. And of course, Patreon is going to probably, we'll just have to end Patreon, but we still have some things in store for our Patreon familia. I'm hopefully going to be working on an art piece to give everybody as the final thank you to all of our madrinas, you know. And if you want a little piece of Latinos Who Lunch, we still have our coloring book available. There's only a couple hundred copies left, I think, out of the original printing that we did of them. So if you want to buy them, you could get them at latinoswholunch.com/coloringbook, and you can see it there. But yeah, like Pavelito said, we won't be coming out with episodes every week after May, but we're going to leave it open because, you know, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I couldn't even imagine us doing this for 5 years when we started. You know right. what I mean? Can you yeah. believe it?
It was a strange and beautiful roller coaster. So I couldn't be more grateful. So I have no regrets. And I can't believe it.
No regrets. All right. Anything else, Babs?
That's it.
All right. As always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. Or you can email us too at asklwl@gmail.com. And we might read your letter on a future episode. If you have a moment, rate our podcast 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Emmanuel Ortega and Justin Favela, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're hearing now is by the band Balloon. I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babalito.
Goodbye.
Ciao. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Okay, okay.
that's so good. Okay.